since I was 7.
Wow.
Okay? He means everything to me. But for some strange reason, May 8th last year, he took my sight away. Not totally. I can still walk 10,000 steps a day in my neighborhood, but I can't read at all. So today is a very unique thing. This is the first time we're going to do this. I'm scheduled to preach in Ohio to 200 men Thursday. Pray for me. And I won't have Rich with me. It'll be an interesting experience. But let's get started. Rich has been with us. Everybody knows Rich Yeager. This is a man that retired early, okay? And let me tell you what, he is serving the Lord like you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe it. He arrives at my home and helps me on things all the time. And he's doing this a lot. And we praise God for Rich Yeager.
Amen.
And his wife, Sandy. All right, what is the first term? Here's the problem with not being able to see. What is the first term I've got on that sheet?
It says here you want to talk about the last 2 years.
Yeah. I have not taught in this class for 2 years. I'm on the teaching list, but I've not taught in this class for 2 years. So this is my first chance to do it. Yeah, welcome back. But I've taught a lot of classes, and I've preached at a lot of churches in my life, but this is the first one I've done where I can't read the scriptures. Okay? So let's go. I like to have discussion, and certainly we have a lot of discussion with Bert. What's the next thing, brother?
Well, you were going to bring up an illustration of an airplane.
Yeah. Yeah, this reminded me of our class. I was in Florida a few weeks ago with my wife, and as we were riding our airplane, which is about this size, this one pulled up in front of us and took off. Well, as it took off, it sounded a little bit like this. Vroom! And off it went. That's Bert Spaulding. This one was Barry Malloy. And as it took off, it went chup, 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 chup. So that's what you got today. All right, brother, go ahead. By the way, anything you want to say right now? And you can talk anytime you want.
Not yet.
Okay.
It's very nice to see that you attract young people. I see your.
I'm going
to
explain that in a minute.
Okay, you have today on here.
Yeah. Today we're going to look at two scriptures. One is this one. We're going to talk about life. I'm going to use myself as a little bit of an illustration because of what I'm going through. So forgive me for personal illustrations. Go ahead.
You got me on here. I don't know why.
I want to introduce you. What's next?
Your kids.
Yeah. All right. Let me tell you something. Now, please, I'm not trying to brag at all, but I have 6 grandchildren. 4 of them are here today, and we have a friend. Why don't you 4 stand up? I promised they would not have to speak. Okay? Now, this is Allie, a friend of this guy, Dane. I don't know why they're not together, but that's all right. This is Dane, which is Dan and Sarah Schnepper's oldest child. This is Will, which is Rob and Melissa O'Brien's middle child. And this is Kate, who's graduating from high school in about 3 weeks, is the oldest daughter of Melissa and Rob O'Brien. Okay? The other 3 are either out of town or couldn't make it. Now, every Sunday, stay right here, guys. Every Sunday, I sit in a row over here, about here. Okay? Right here. I sit down. And I look across, and counting my wife and so on, I have 12 of my family sitting here. Every Sunday, right here, like this. Okay? What do you think? Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. Yes.
These young people are going on for Jesus Christ. Each one of these 4 have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay? On any given Wednesday night, you know, usually nobody comes to church on a Wednesday night. If they're not in church, they're crying about it. They want to be here. That's the attitude they have. So pray for my family, okay? Is there anything you guys want to say? Huh? Is there anything you want to say? Just one thing.
Thought it was great.
What's that?
Thought it was great.
Amen. All right, you guys can go to your class if you want.
We'll wait.
You're going to wait?
Yeah, we'll
okay, see. Fine. You want to see what crazy things are going to happen. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Rich.
Thank you, Barry, for your legacy.
So it's a blessing.
For sure. Let's see your Bible, Barry, that you've had for 100 years.
Since May 8th of last year, I haven't been able to read this old book. Okay? This old book that nobody reads hardly at all, except we Christians. This wonderful book that changes lives. Here it is. When I was 13 years old, my mom and dad gave me this Bible. Okay? Until May 8th of last year, I've not read it. But I want you to know, I used it a lot. I studied it. I underlined it. I notated it. It's a precious book for me. So now it's sitting on the shelf. But that's the way God has directed my life. All right, go ahead.
All right, Barry.
What's the first
thing? Talk about your last 2 years and the testing of your faith.
Yeah.
The struggle that you've had.
It's been a struggle. Guys, I'm not going to fool around with you. There's days I've asked God, why? Why? I just have. Okay? I'm sure many of you could share. Huh? Anybody got a why in their life?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on, I'll give you 30 seconds. Give me one.
It's a test of your faith, even in bad times.
Amen.
You have overcome it and prove that you're an overcomer because you're here today.
Yes. Praise God.
It's a reliance that you know that God knows better and farther down the road than what you see currently.
Yes.
I have 4 grandchildren I haven't seen in 7 years, and that's a very hurtful thing, but I know that God has a plan for that, and I don't know, working out whatever he's working out, but I have lifted up in prayer multiple times, and I continue to rely on faith that that door will be open.
Amen. How about one more?
My nephew's wife has cancer, and
yeah.
Doesn't look like she'll survive. She's 44.
Wow.
3 young children. Mm. And we all love her to bits.
Yes.
But God is good. God's character, we have to trust that God is good and God loves us and he's merciful and just. And whatever we're going through, there's a reason for us.
Yes. Amen. I love your attitude. All right, what's next?
All right, Barry, you have a song, one of your
song.
Favorite
songs. I want to play a song, is about what I want to try and talk about today. I'm going to try. One of you guys want to come up and help me? I want to put on Even If by Mercy Me, and you got to get this going.
Is it connected to your phone?
It is connected as of last night. We're going to find out. So let's see. Now, I mean it. You can understand every word this man says. And it's gonna affect you. Just listen carefully to what is being sung. Yeah, here it comes. You ready? Squeeze in here. Oh, that's all right. That's it. The room here, is it? No, sit right here. Is that loud enough?
Night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right. Right now, oh, right now, I just...
Due to copyright restrictions, we are unable to include the song, Even If, by Mercy Me, that was used in class. You are encouraged to listen to it via a legal source to help you follow the discussion following.
What's everybody want to say? Amen?
Amen.
How about a couple comments?
I love the
lyrics, how it's focusing in on our personal relationship with our Heavenly Father,
Amen.
Our righteous, holy Father who holds us through the tough times.
Yes. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
It reminds me of Job, I think it's 19, where he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Oh, amen.
God is sovereign, and his will shall be done, and we, being his children, he has our best in mind, and even through the pain, in the end, it will be to glorify his name and the betterment of our life.
Amen. Great. What's next, brother?
Just a few more.
Oh, a couple more. Go ahead.
It just speaks of a Christian who trusts the Lord.
Yes.
I just find in times when it's so hard, when it's very difficult and everything's falling apart, that you just have to cling and just keep talking, you know, keep...
Amen.
Keep believing the truth.
Yes.
Even though it seems like everything around you is not, you know, so difficult, but knowing God's character, like Nancy said earlier, knowing God's character and just clinging to him.
Amen. Who are you?
Debbie.
Debbie who?
Thanks.
Oh, sorry, Deb.
Okay.
You guys look like a blur out there. So Deb's in our, I'm in her small group. And I'm thinking, boy, I know that voice. All right, a couple more?
Barry, we had a son, our middle son,
yes,
at 16, said he didn't want anything to do with God.
That
was tough.
Yeah.
But we kept praying for him.
Yes.
Praying for him. At 26, he called us and said, I got raised with God. Praise God. Don't stop praying.
Where does he live?
Down in Florida.
In a good church?
Yep.
Praise God.
Barry, I'm with you quite a bit, and we get to chat, but just share about your struggles with unanswered prayer, maybe the way you would want it, with your eyesight, some of your frustration, but maintain your faith.
You're asking me?
I'm asking. How do you do it?
Well, one thing, I mean, there's many, but one thing I want to say, I'm a mini Dave. In the marketplace, I seek to tell many people about Jesus Christ. Would you say that's true, guys?
Yeah.
When we're out, I seek to tell people about the Lord. And I don't know about you guys, but I always ask somebody, would you pray with me? You know, it's on the beach in Florida and stuff. This is crazy stuff I do. And nobody ever says no, Dave.
Right.
They always let me pray. So during my prayer, I'm able to share Christ. So I try to live that kind of life. I've done it for a lot of time. I've spoken 4 times in front of the Supreme Court offices. I've preached the gospel in front of the White House. I mean, I'm a nobody, but I've done this crazy stuff. And I've talked to my neighbor about the Lord too. So that stirs me to continue. Would you say I kind of live that way, Rich, knowing me?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I try to live that kind of life. And it encourages me to go on. And I try to teach these guys how to do it. They don't have to speak. Where is Will? He's right here. Yeah. They all go, lead the cause. He's going again this year. We have a thing called Lead the Cause that goes to California and learns how to witness for Jesus Christ. In the process of last year, Will led his friend from Fraser High School by phone and mail to Jesus Christ.
Praise.
Could I give a 5 for that one?
Amen.
That was last summer, and he's followed up with them, and he's going again this year. So things like that, teach our children to do that. Go ahead, let's move on.
When I've talked with Barry and his frustration, but I don't know if you remember last month, when Bob had a sermon on Let the Children Come.
Yeah.
And then part of his sermon was, the disciples are saying, Jesus, what are you doing? We don't have time for this. And one of his points was, some people don't look upon others if they don't bring something to the table.
Right.
Yeah.
And I told Barry, and he even mentioned, as we get older, we can't always bring the same stuff to the table.
Yeah.
Barry used to teach. I'm not trying to applaud Barry, but he's served well at the church.
Amen.
And I call him... a sports analogy, I used a triple crown. There's only two people on Cornerstone that have served on the mission team, served on the finance team, and served on the elder board. And that's Barry. But he can't do that anymore. So, but he can still bring something to the table through prayer and encouragement, which he's done with a lot of you.
Great.
Barry.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're not all here to praise you, but you have this coming that you remind me of Job in the Bible, where the devil said, "Let me test him. Surely anybody will praise you. Yeah. Things are going good. Take everything away from him and see if he still praises you and respects you, Lord." And you are. Things have been gone downhill a little bit,
yep,
and you're still praising the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's go to Scripture.
Yep, Scripture, Psalm 125:1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Do you want me to read here?
Yeah. Pam and I studied. It's pretty interesting. We had our books out and the whole bit, and we got this done in the last 2 weeks. And here's our synopsis. And then when this is done, I want to hear from you guys about this. Go ahead.
Zion is one of the promontories in the city of Jerusalem. I had to look that word up, promontories. It's like a high point, a peak.
By the way, it's 2,200 feet above sea level, and he's been there.
And it's sometimes used as a figure of speech for the city itself. Here it signifies the ultimate instability and strength, a citadel that cannot be moved. The man of faith is like that. His life is built on a solid rock. When the rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow and beat up upon his house, it does not fall because it has been built on the rock. The psalmist says Mount Zion abides forever. As far as the earthly is concerned, this must be understood as the way it appeared to believers at that time. We know from the New Testament that earth will be destroyed by fire. However, we ourselves use similar expressions. We speak of everlasting hill and the eternal city.
Eternal city.
The important point is that although Mount Zion will one day be destroyed and the believer in Christ will never perish because he is positionally in Christ and he is safe as God can make him.
Amen. That's what we got out of it, and we want to continue to trust in him. Your thoughts about this verse? By the way, this is where Jerusalem is. If I understand it right, when Jerusalem was there at David's time, it was no bigger than our parking lot. Okay? And it sits there on that hill. You know, it's not a mountain, it's a mound. Wouldn't you call it?
Yeah.
He's been there. All right, what's your thoughts? Go ahead, just speak up. Rich, you call him out.
When I read this psalm, I was looking it up. It's called an ascent psalm. There's many different psalms, as you guys well know. And you just think about the Israelites at this time, all around the region, making their pilgrimage and their journey to Jerusalem.
Amen.
The presence of God. And I'm sure these people have gone through trials, maybe blindness, family issues. They're just like us, right? And they're making this pilgrimage for festivals or feasts. And this is where they walk on their camels, with their camels and with their kids. And they start ascending and singing the praises of God. And Barry wanted me to share, if you go to Israel, I wasn't on a camel, but I was on a bus tour. And when I was in Jericho, and we went from Jericho, which is east of Jerusalem, and you make that trek about 10, 15 miles, and you slowly go up, you can see it. And then we were on the eastern crest, and you get to a place called the Mount of Olives, which is like 2,500 feet high. And you can just imagine these Israelites walking up that hill. But when you see it, it's fascinating because when you look at Jerusalem, it's surrounded by the vastness of mountains. But the city itself is like a fortress. It has valleys that are 700 feet down. So when you're looking out a Mount of Olives, I can only imagine these Israelites just anticipating going to the temple and worshiping God. But they have to go down that valley, and then they go back up to Jerusalem. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience that I'll never forget.
Thank you. Any other thoughts? Let me tell you something. The best hour of the week, I mean this. I was a businessman. I got free tickets to U of M and all that stuff, and I enjoyed it all. Since I retired, nobody invites me to any games. That's true. But let me tell you what, and I felt this way 30 years ago, and I still feel this way. The best hour of the week is coming up. Amen?
Amen.
It's coming up. When we gather together to worship Him. All right, what's next? Sorry for the tears. Go ahead.
Another verse, Mary, Psalm 73.
Yeah, look at this one. This is incredible. Yeah, go ahead.
Whom have I in heaven but you? Excuse me. And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart.
Amen.
Portion forever.
That's one worth memorizing, folks.
Amen.
Put that on the refrigerator. All right, Rich, let's hear. This is Pam and I's commentary right here. By the way, I am married. Excuse me. I am married. I forgot. Her name's Pam, and she's fairly old. But for 35 years, that dear lady has been working with the young people, and she's there today. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And there's hardly a week goes by in our house, there's not a young person in my home. I mean that. And guess what? Wouldn't you agree with me? They're coming to see Pam. I sit in, but she does the talking. Go ahead, brother, your commentary.
It is enough that I have you in heaven that makes me fabulously wealthy. And now I have no desire for anything upon earth apart from yourself. Let the ungodly have their wealth. I am satisfied with you and find all my sufficiency in you. My body may waste away and my heart may fail, but God is my strength of my life, and I will ever need or want throughout eternity. And that's everything I want or need throughout eternity.
Isn't that fantastic? Some thoughts, please. Now, don't also. Now, you always speak when Bert's up here. Come on.
It says to me that throughout the Bible, you can have God now. You can have everlasting already exists. You can have God in your life now.
Yes.
You don't have to wait to die and go to heaven. God is here and
amen.
Now. And if you just accept Him into your life, you can have joy instead of some happenstance that happens. You happen to joy. I mean, you happen to life. You can have God now.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, and it sounds like that reading there, those words are what God would be pleased with, because He's a jealous God, and so He doesn't want us to have idols. He doesn't want us to run lukewarm.
Yes.
He wants our affection. He wants us to say, you are enough. You are all that I need.
Yes.
And worship Him.
Amen. Go ahead.
When you mentioned affection, there was a great theologian named Jonathan Edwards, and he wrote a fantastic book called Religious Affections. And it's based upon, I believe it's 1 Peter 1:8, though you don't see Him, yet you love Him. And it's 15 hours of audio about religious affections. It's
phenomenal.
One of the best books I've ever read.
Wow.
And that's just it. God loves us, and He loves when we show our affection to Him, and we're not ashamed of our tears and our joy and our screaming and shouting and dancing and loving Him. You know,
amen.
That's all about.
Right.
And being a witness, right? You know all about it, Barry. You're not ashamed of the gospel, because it's
try not to
God
be.
And salvation for everyone.
Amen. Other thoughts?
Our desires, as we become, as we are converted, when he creates a new heart, he puts a, removes that heart of stone, and he puts in that heart that is moldable, and it's moldable by his word. As we are renewing our minds daily in his word through and in prayer and obedience to that, he is creating a new desire in us to become more like him, to shine his light to a lost and dying world. When we do that, there is not, it's more, it, we had a conversation, my wife and I, to give versus to receive. The blessings of giving is far more better than to receive. And when you can give the truth of God's word, when you see a person who was lost and blind, the Spirit of living God opens their eyes, changes their desires, and they're able to receive the truth once they couldn't see. And you are, God uses you in that.
Amen.
He changes your desires to do the, his will.
Yes.
And when you do that, there is no greater thing that you could ever do on this earth that will give you more joy than the pleasing the Father through speaking the truth of God's word.
Amen. It's for his glory and our joy.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Hey, is Guy here today?
No.
He's on vacation, eh?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That verse,
go ahead.
Reminds me of the old hymn. When we've been there 10,000 years, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first got.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any more?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One thing I wanted to say is that when we are able to rejoice and still give thanks and show hope in the midst of trials to the lost, then that's the greatest witness, I think.
Yeah,
that we can show that because we really believe and we have hope despite horrible circumstances.
Yeah.
What a great testimony. And there have been many at Cornerstone that have gone through horrible things at the end, but have just,
Amen.
Steadfast. You know, I think of Mark Kruger and his witness with all his ailments.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mark's in a wheelchair.
Right.
Yeah, who was over here that was talking about an unbeliever? And they're very hostile to the gospel.
Oh, that was Karen.
Around here, yeah. Many years ago, one of my friends, Carmine, he had a, I'm going to keep, what time we got here?
You're closing in on that.
All right. This is it. Well, that's all right.
9:52.
Okay. He had a brother-in-law who he hated. Carmine was a very fine Christian, but he just despised this guy. Guy was a womanizer, a drunkard, a drug addict, the whole bit. Well, he was getting ready to die. And we got the call. Carmine called me and said, pray for my, they want me to come up to the hospital, and I'm not going. That's what he told me. So I said, all right. So I called him back and said, hey, we're going. You and I are going to the hospital tonight. No, Malloy, I'm not going. No, we're going. So we went. As we gathered there, this guy was agonizing pain. He's going to hell, man. He's going to hell in about 20 minutes. And he knew it. We went in that room. Carmen said, I hate this guy. I despise him. You ready? This literally happened. Barry Malloy did not say one word. I didn't say one word except hi. Carmine gave him the gospel, led him to Jesus Christ, and he was saved, brother.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, he was saved,
right.
And I believe he's in heaven. He wasted his life.
That's right.
Yeah.
No wonder. We're called to do stuff like this.
Right.
Let's do it. All right, somebody in the chairs back there, I want you to close in prayer. Somebody stand up, lady or man, stand up and give a prayer, and we'll be done for the day. Thank you for your attention. Somebody back there? Come on, Jeff. Is that Jeff Holloway or Jeff? Okay, let's go. Come on, Jeff.
Lord, you are very gracious to us. Give us circumstances that make us remember who you are and who we are. You teach us, you guide us, you're gracious to us to remember our place, to remember, as the rest of this psalm teaches, that those that seem at ease are very near their end, much nearer than they realize. But we are constantly protected and supported and loved by you. And Lord, never let us forget that for a second. Thank you for Barry's testimony today. Help us to look forward to our own testimony as you take us through our lives. Help us to even recognize this moment, what you were teaching us, how you are our provider, you are our protector, you are our guide, and no one and nothing else. Lord, strip away all these other things that fascinate us, that we are envious of, that we strive towards, and help us to strive towards and be thankful for only you. Let our hearts be pure and undivided in our search for you and in our resting in you, as we do have rest in Jesus Christ. And thank you for that reminder this morning. In his name we pray.
Amen. And some of you make our young people feel welcome.
Thank you, sir.
That was good. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow.